Welcome to some more great Bible preaching from the pulpit of Capital City Baptist Church in the heart of Austin, Texas. Our prayer is that your relationship with Christ is strengthened and that you are blessed by the time you spend in the Word of God with us today.
Acts chapter 17, we'll start reading in verse 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul, Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city in an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they had found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." Let's bow our heads and hearts and ask God to bless the message tonight. I want you to look at verse 6. There's a statement at the end of the verse that'll be our text and the subject this evening. "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither." What an amazing statement made about Paul and Silas. You know, there are way too many Christians in 2012 whose life don't count for anything. I wonder how many Christians live, go to church, raise their family, and in the end, they haven't turned anything right side up. Haven't put enough effort and energy in the life to look back and say, I impacted someone in a positive way for the cause of Christ. Now, this isn't the church speaking of Paul and Silas. This isn't the testimony of friends or family. This is the city, and the city officials are saying, these people came here and turned the place upside down. Now, what they didn't know was they'd actually turned it right side up. Way back, if you go back to Genesis chapter 3, and you see the fall of Adam and Eve and the curse that came over the earth, you realize at that point the world went upside down. Man enjoys the curse enjoys man. And what we've had for the past 6,000 years is absolute chaos upon the face of this planet because sin caused this world to go upside down. Before sin ever entered, God had a plan, God had a desire, God wanted to walk with man and for man to walk with God, and sin changed all of that. And a new philosophy was developed, a secular philosophy, a humanistic philosophy, a selfish philosophy. Now, Christians, it shouldn't surprise you that the world looks at you funny because you don't share the same philosophy. And if you do, there's a serious problem. I mean, this philosophy, this humanistic philosophy is so distant, so contrary to the Word of God, that when we speak and when we preach, and what did Paul do? When he came into the city, he did what he always did according to his manner and customs. He would go to the temple and he would preach to the Jews first, and he'd open up the Scripture and expound to them the Word of God. Now listen, when you preach the Word of God or you teach the Word of God, the world's going to look at you in a very strange manner. They're going to say, "What is wrong with you?" Isn't it strange how weird this world is, and they don't even know it? If you work in this world Monday through Friday and you put up with their philosophy, you'll hear someone say in a very flippant manner, "Yeah, my sister just had an abortion," as if she had just taken a fly swatter and killed a fly off the wall of her house. We're talking about a baby. We're talking about the taking of a life. created by Almighty God. And that same person, the next breath and the next phrase will say, you keep your cat outside in the winter? It's cold. How dare you? What are you thinking? You're so cruel, you won't let that animal inside? It is nothing to them to take a human life. But if you failed to pet your cat, you're mean and cruel. That's the society that we live in. And when you come with this book and you preach the Word of God and you live, listen, just living a godly life turns this world upside down. Or better stated, right side up. I'm thankful that I don't, as soon as I walk outside of these doors, I'm thankful I don't fit in, because it's the world that's upside down, not the church. It's the unsaved. It's not this book. It's their books. It's not this doctrine. It's their philosophy. It's not godly living. It's the worldly living outside the house of God that needs turned right side up. But he came into the city. What a wonderful testimony. Boy, I'd love it if this city said about Capital City, this church has turned Austin right side up. This world loves darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And here's what Capital City does. It shines a light in the darkness. And that's disturbing to this world. You ever been asleep? You ever been in darkness? Someone turned the light on? It turns your world upside down. Amen. Now, here's what I want to speak about this evening. Turning the world right side up. The impact. We're getting ready to walk into our anniversary services, our missions conference, and other events. And when we do it, I want to walk in with the right attitude, the right philosophy, the right direction, the right mindset. And if we don't prepare ourselves spiritually, mentally, and emotionally, we're not going to see God accomplish what He wants to accomplish in our hearts, our lives, and in our church. And here's what has to take place. The Word of God has to be a top priority. We see that Paul and Silas, they come into the area of Thessalonica, and he begins to reason out of the Scriptures in verse 3. He preaches Christ, which we should be doing. Amen. And some believe. And as a result, people start making the accusation. Now, let me say this. When we talk about turning the world right side up, when we're talking about making an impact, when we talk about reaching out to every creature, go with me back to Acts chapter 1, because really, here's what we have to understand. This all starts in Jerusalem. Our impact has to start right here in Jerusalem. Acts 1:8, before Christ's ascension, his last word to the disciples, verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both. Where does it start? In Jerusalem. Yes, I'm focused on Judea. Yes, I believe in getting the gospel to Samaria. Yes, I want to go to the uttermost part of the earth. But it has to start, this impact has to start right here in Jerusalem. And here's what you're going to see if you read the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1. You see 120 of them in the upper room praying. They're on their knees for 10 days, 10 nights. The power of God falls. Acts chapter 2. 3,000 souls get saved. Acts chapter 3, Peter walks up to the temple and sees the lame man healed. Acts chapter 4, 5,000 souls are saved. And right there in Jerusalem, a great revival takes place, and literally tens of thousands of people. We're not talking about just on Sunday. We're not talking about during regular services. But souls were being saved on a daily basis because they said, if we're going to have a worldwide impact, it starts right here in our Jerusalem. Amen. And here's what I've seen. Too many churches in this day and age, they get all of their focus on the rest of the world, and they just start throwing money around the rest of the world, and they forget their Jerusalem. Or they get all their focus on Jerusalem, and they forget there's a world out there that's lost and dying. And here's what Satan liked to do to Capital City. And as we traveled, went to the Philippines, and we saw the investment that Capital City has made for the past 27 years in worldwide missions. And it's, listen, folks, our investment is only growing because we started investing in these missionaries and in these ministries when they first got started. And now, listen, when we sent Brother Rice out, he had never started a church. Now he has a church that runs 1,000. The Institute runs 75 to 100 men every single year and has over 100 men in the ministry who are training workers. And he said, I'm just getting started. Amen. Our investment has paid off greatly. But let me say this. Satan will destroy that by getting us to forget our own Jerusalem. And that's why we have Vacation Bible School. That's why we have weekly soul winning. That's why we go out on Wednesday night. And we go out street preaching on Thursday night. And soul winning on Saturday. That's why we started RTP and training our children how to win souls and properly explain the gospel and be able to lead another child to the Lord Jesus Christ. We do all of those things because if we forget Austin, sooner or later, we'll stop sending men out around the world, our church will stop growing, our missions will shrink, and we won't have a worldwide impact. They said to Paul, he's turned the world. Boy, if that accusation would be thrown at us. Capital City is turning the world upside down. That's what I want Capital City to be known for. Amen. Folks, the time is short. Listen, we're so caught up in everything else that's happening around us, in the politics, in the presidential election. And listen, I don't care if it's Obama, I don't care if it's Romney or who it is, there isn't a single one of those guys that's going to save this nation from itself. You know what's going to save this nation? Christians that get up and get focused. And listen, we can only have a worldwide impact through reproduction. Listen, no one said it better than that Korean chief of security who had us in the boat, and as Nathan told him, my wife came from a big family, 8 or 9 kids. And he made high impact statement when he said, that's the problem with you Christians. Christians want to Christianize the world through reproduction. I just sat there and smiled. And when he turned and looked at me and said, right, I said, possibly. But inside I was saying, you got it. And if each Christian doesn't understand, God wants every single individual in the church reproducing spiritual children. And there are no exceptions. And here's what we do. We hide behind the church facade. And because the church is winning souls, we act like we're part of that. No, let me ask you tonight. If you're individually involved in the outreach of Capital City Baptist Church, if you're involved in inviting, if you're involved in witnessing, if you're involved in praying, if you're involved in bringing visitors, if you're involved in the soul winning program of this church, are you helping turn this world right side up? You know what the church has done? We don't want to turn the world right side up. We have been silenced, shamed, embarrassed, criticized to the point where we don't even want to look different, talk different, act different, or be recognized. As soon as we get outside these doors, we don't want anyone to even recognize that we're a Christian. Because we might happen. Listen, when you dress like a Christian, you walk into your place of work, you turn that place upside down. You know they immediately begin talking about the way you're dressed. You walk into your place of work and you put a Bible on your desk and a picture of your Christian family. That's all it takes to turn that business upside down. You know what happened in this nation? Oh, we're seeing a rise of non-denominational churches, and everyone's claiming to be a Christian. Why, if we have so many millions of Christians, why in the world aren't we turning the United States of America upside down? Because our Christianity is upside down. Maybe it's the church that needs turned right side up. Because when we're living the way we're supposed to live, when we're acting the way we're supposed to act, when we're talking the way we're supposed to talk, when we're dressing the way we're supposed to dress, that alone turns the world upside down and brings deep and serious conviction. It threatens them because it's a light shining in darkness. But here's what we want to do. It's much more comfortable simply put a little bit of money in an envelope and send it overseas. And because our Jerusalem affects us, that means I'm actually going to have to get out of my comfort zone. I'm personally going to have to do something in my place of business. That means I'm going to have to worry about the souls of those that live in Austin, Texas. We have over a million people right here in our city that need the Word of God. And our worldwide impact starts right here at Capital City Baptist Church. Let me ask you this. How can our worldwide impact grow if our church doesn't grow? Our worldwide impact, the Lord Jesus Christ let the disciples know, it has to start in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 13, turning the world right side up, having that kind of impact. It's going to take a Spirit-filled Christian, Spirit-filled boldness. Acts 13, verse 46, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light. Amen? That's you. That's me. That's us. That's not just the church, but every individual in the church. Look at the result. Verse 49, the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. Verse 52, the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Now let me ask you this, Christians. How in the world are we going to have a worldwide impact unless each individual in the church is operating filled with the Holy Ghost? You know what your impact is outside of the Holy Ghost? In your flesh, what you're capable of doing. What kind of impact are you going to have? With all your talents and all your abilities, and you find another five people in your row, and you form a team, you put all of your abilities together and all your knowledge together, and you go without the Holy Ghost, you know what kind of worldwide impact you have? None. Zilch. Zero. You know why Paul and Silas had an impact in this city? Because you're talking about two Spirit-filled Christians walking in, preaching the word of God. These people didn't even want to hear. Now we know they got thrown out of city after city. And in the next city, they went to Berea. And the Bible says, those were ones that were more noble because they readily received and studied the word of God. But this group had to be persuaded. And it was the Holy Spirit that did the persuading. Folks, let me ask you this. 90% of Christianity operates 90% of the time without the Holy Spirit. John 15 says, without me ye can do nothing. So you know what you accomplish without the Holy Spirit? Nothing. Well, I took 40 hours and we knocked doors and we worked hard. You do that without the Holy Spirit and you just accomplish absolutely nothing. I've often wondered how many Christians go to church 30 and 40 years. At the end of their life, they look back, they've had no spiritual impact at all. You know why? It takes a Spirit-filled Christian to have a spiritual impact. When he went to this city, now you would think when he goes in there, he preaches, people get upset. The Bible says that they gather together the baser sort. I like that. I like how clear the King James Bible is. Amen. You know what that means? Those are just sitting around looking to cause trouble. They gathered them together and they said, listen, we're going to go stir things up with Apostle Paul. And they create a problem, produce a headache. He has to leave the city. He goes down the road to Berea. And guess what? Not but a couple years later, look what's written in 1 Thessalonians. Now let me ask you this. How many of you would think that after a few weeks of preaching in the city, getting people upset, getting thrown out, how many of you think that he had time to successfully start an independent Bible preaching Baptist church? How many think that happened? If we hadn't read the book of 1 and 2 Thessalonians, we would have thought what a failure Paul was in that city. But the power of the Holy Spirit changed lives. Look what it says in 1 Thessalonians 1:1. Paul and Silvanus, Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, A church got started out of that short visit by Paul and Silas, which is in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5, for our gospel came not to you in word only, but also, what's it say? Now let me ask you this. Humanly speaking, is it even possible to go into a city, preach for a few weeks, get thrown out, and leave what the church started? Is that even humanly possible? You don't know anything about church planning. Brother Troy's here. Brother St. Pierre's here. Other pastors are here. Church planters, both these men are church planters. I'm a church planner. Listen, I'll tell you, humanly speaking, it is not possible. I don't care who you are or what you preach, to start a church in less than 2 years. But Paul had a few weeks in the city. In the power of God, the blessing of the Holy Spirit. Look what it says. Our gospel came not in you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all of them that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Now let me ask you this. Strangely enough, if you would have observed the life of Paul, we would have put it up on the big screen, and you saw his trip through Thessalonica, and he's thrown out of the city after preaching for just a few short weeks, and the reaction of that town, and those people, long hair, I kind of imagine the greasy sort, you know, tattoos all over their body, 13 ear piercings and clubs in their hands. And they chase Paul out of the city, and he goes to Berea, and the people there don't need any persuasion. They have the word of God, and as soon as they're shown the truth, they get saved. Now, let me ask you this. Human logic, human reasoning would look back and say, boy, there'd probably be a great, famous, and faithful church in Berea and Thessalonica. They probably don't even have a single believer left. What do you hear about Berea? You know why? We forget about the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit, His ability to change lives. When Paul left there, he left some new converts that were on fire. And those city officials were mad and said, these men have turned the world upside down. Can you imagine what the church of God, if we truly have millions of Christians in the United States of America, which I doubt, but if we truly do, what could those Christians accomplish if they would live Spirit-filled? We could turn this world upside down. Listen, just if everyone that claims the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, everyone in Texas that claims to be a Christian, if they just live Spirit-filled, it wouldn't take a year to turn Texas upside down. The problem is, I don't think there's much Spirit-filled living going on. Number three, we speak of turning the world right side up or upside down. It has to be our enduring passion. Now, I want you to think about your own Christian life for a minute. How do we live as Christians? Mountain and valley. Someone comes in, charges us up, we have a special meeting, Brother Ouellette comes to preach on soul winning, and the next thing you know, we're carrying tracts in our pocket, we're showing up for Saturday soul winning, we're on fire for God, we're doing everything we can to bring out a visitor, see someone saved, witness at work, share our testimony, and 3 weeks later, what happens? 3 weeks later, you couldn't find a track in our car, our pocket, our purse, or our house. I mean, a preacher would have to grab you by the scruff of your neck and move your bottom jaw just to get you to say a Bible verse. Now, if you look at these men, here's what you'll see in the life of Paul. In the chapter before, we just read chapter 17. How many of you have ever read Acts chapter 16? That's when Paul goes to Philippi, and there in that city, he preaches. Remember, he finds Lydia down there at the river, and he meets those women, and he preaches, has a bunch saved, starts meeting in her house. The church starts to take off, and there's a little girl down there possessed with the devil, and she's falling around, saying, these be the servants of the Most High God. But she was a moneymaker, a fortune teller, full of the devil. Paul cast that devil out and saw that little girl saved, and when those men lost their source of money, they got upset. Paul and Silas were beaten. They're thrown in jail. Now listen, Paul had already been beaten and stoned and thrown out of cities and hated and rejected. And even the disciples refused to stand with Paul. And let me ask you this. That same passion that Paul had when he first got saved was the same passion we see in Acts 20 when he finished his third missionary journey. And he goes through Ephesus and he says, listen, for 3 years I cease not. So listen, from house to house, publicly, I was preaching. Said, I held back nothing. But here's what happens in Christianity. We want to have a worldwide impact and be passionate about 5 days out of the year. Paul couldn't be stopped when beaten, thrown in jail, shipwrecked, hated, abandoned, tortured, stoned. But that's what a pastor has to do nowadays to his congregation just to get him to be passionate for a day or two. You've got to threaten to stone him or beat him. You've got to threaten him with jail just to get him to pass out a gospel tract. Folks, let me ask you this. How many of you believe that God wants us still in 2012 turning this world upside down? I believe it can happen. I don't care what direction any church is going. I believe this church, Capital City Baptist, with the group we have, with the money we have, with the youth we have, with the institute we have, with the Christian school we have, with the 13 missionaries we have, I believe this group can turn the world upside down. I believe that. I would not be here if I didn't believe that. But here's what's got to happen. Everybody's got to get on the same page. And that passion can't be for a day. It can't be for 48 hours. It can't be for 2 weeks after a missions trip. It can't be after you see some slides or a picture or hear a testimony or a good word or a spirit-filled sermon. It can't be after you read the book of Acts or have the Holy Spirit touch you during a service. It can't be 20 minutes after an altar call. It's got to be every single day of our lives that we wake up and say, today I have the same duty, the same goal, the same purpose, the same command. That business endeavor is not a Bible command. I thank God for it. But if we're not using that business endeavor to impact the world, it's in vain. Listen, in order for Capital City to be a strong church, we need some people to settle down right here for a lifetime and just say, you know what? I'm going to use all my talents and all my ability and every ounce of money-making talent that I have in my body to impact the world. You're supposed to be on the front lines right here at Capital City Baptist Church. I have people asking me, missionaries asking me every year, can we make Capital City Baptist Church our ascending church? Listen, I have to be ethical, and I understand the responsibility of sending men out. And every year, I turn down missionaries, tell them, we can't be your sending church. You've got a sending church, we'll help you, we'll support you, we'll send people over there, we'll help you get a church started, we're not going to be your sending church. Now, why do we have missionaries begging Capital City to be their sending church? They see a church that's interested in impacting the world. Amen. Folks, it won't be long before we're sending out Tim and Kara Cleghorn. It won't be long before we'll be sending out some of our young men, and Jonathan and Christopher, some of our young couples. That's a huge responsibility. That's another investment. We cannot do that unless our giving increases. Our passion becomes a little bit more regular. Why is it? We have a missions conference. And then November, December, January, February, our mission giving goes up. It nearly reaches the stars. It's in another stratosphere. And God's blessing, and we're taking on missionaries, and we're helping with projects. And then about April 15th, things start to taper off. But here's what happens to our passion. We bring in missionaries, and we see the slides, and we hear the need, and we see these men, and we say that's a good investment, and we get passionate, and we get fervent for about 5 months at a time. You look at the 11 disciples, Judas betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, killed himself. That left 11, but you look at those 11, with the exception of John, that were passionate until they became martyrs. Paul was passionate. Listen, you read every verse in Acts and you see it seeping out his pores. Paul's passion to impact the world. If that's not your purpose, if your purpose is not to live your life, turn this world right side up, You've got to make a choice daily, because you know simply in 2012, simply by living the Christian life, here's why you see churches all going a different direction. The church does not want to have worldwide impact. Church wants to fit in with the world. The world is turning the church upside down instead of the church turning the world upside down. So the Christians get out into this world and say, man, everything else is upside down. I better just flip upside down. I mean, if they're going to dress like that and talk like that and laugh at that and watch that and say that's right and think that's proper, and if they believe that, I'm going to be the only weirdo on the planet. Let me ask you this tonight. What could 350 people do? God may have pulled me off the mission field, but he didn't pull the mission field out of my heart. And as long as I live and as long as I'm pastor of this church, our focus, listen, our focus has got to be more passionate than ever. There is a lost and dying world. And in the Philippines, they're responding. And in Korea, North Korea, they're responding to the gospel of Christ. And in Paraguay, and Brother Sanchez telling me that Argentina is opening up. And Peru is responding to the gospel. And Panama is responding to the gospel. And Uganda is responding to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if we know there's a harvest field awaiting us, and we know that God's not going to have us live there, preach there, start a church there, why aren't we doing everything within our God-given power to increase our earning potential so that we can invest more than we've ever invested in those men that God has called? I mean, I don't think anybody in this church is suffering. I don't think anybody in this church is doing without. Oh, you might have one bald tire in your car. You might have a stain on your seat. You might have a rip in your couch, but you still got a couch, and you still got a car. Most of us actually have a car with an AC. All it takes is a trip, and I look out there at a lost and dying world. Our sorry Christianity that is so selfish, so caught up with frivolous junk. If we don't turn their world upside down, who will? Here's what we do. We get passionate. We watch some Christian video. We listen to some message. And we suddenly get passionate. We make a missions commitment. And 4 months later, trying to find some way out of our commitment. Romans 12, 1. Put your finger in Romans 12, 1. And then in 2 Corinthians 11, two passages that you're very familiar with. In order to have a worldwide impact, it requires sacrifice. Let me just say this. It actually requires great sacrifice, because we can have a minor impact without sacrifice. We can have a limited impact and just give superficially. I mean, we can actually see a few souls saved both here and across the world by taking a look at what we earn and taking a look at what we can afford and saying, you know what, I can do that, and really in the long run, it's not going to hurt me that much. But turning the world upside down is actually going to take some sacrifice. It's going to cost you status, because even as a Christian, you're still trying to impress people you don't know at a stoplight. And you're sitting in your truck thinking, man, if I could just sit a little higher with a bigger mirror, a nicer bumper, a sleeker car. Americans can't stand sacrificing their status. I mean, if their purse doesn't say coach, they don't even want anybody to see it. You have one life, one chance, one opportunity. That's it. 50 years, 60 years. Romans 12, 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies what? A, that's what we don't want. That's what we resist. I don't want to be a living sacrifice. Now, what did Paul say in 2 Corinthians 11? You know the verses. You know what he said. Verse 23, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths more oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, at night and the day I've been in the deep, in journeyings oft, in perils in waters, in perils of rough. Now listen, here's what I can't believe. I have people that won't make a sacrifice on any, oh, they'll do a token offering, but nothing that's sacrificial, and then ask me about the mission field. When you go to the mission field, you just sacrificed grandma and grandpa seeing the grandkids. And that doesn't sit very well with the average grandparents, even when they're Christians. Normally you sacrifice heat in your house and air conditioning. You sacrifice food you love and treats you like. You sacrifice a soft bed. You sacrifice the sweet smells and pretty sights of the United States of America, normally for the smell of sewage and garbage. You sacrifice your culture that you don't even realize how much you love. You sacrifice organized highways for absolute chaos on the road. Two-lane roads become five-lane highways. With a bike in between the vehicles every 5 foot and a motorcycle that'll hold up to seven people at a time. You get to smell exhaust, pollution, sewage, hog farms, cow pastures on the same street. That's what you call home. And you think God's calling you there when you sweat out a $100 bill. At a missions conference, you know when someone's about ready to go to the mission field. You know when someone's about ready to get in the ministry because they start investing everything they have in the work of God. And their life is about a worldwide impact. Let me ask you this tonight. I get one shot. I'm 41 years old. I'm at the 20-year mark of my ministry, which means I'm probably halfway done. James today had 8 baptized and 3 saved. That's a good investment. As long as you're stuck at HEB, Donald. Chris, as long as you're stuck at UPS. Tony, as long as you're stuck in that construction site. Nate, as long as you're stuck downtown maintaining those buildings. Steve, as long as you're stuck with that company. You know what we're going to do? We're going to use those companies to finance the salvation of souls around the world. HEB doesn't know what kind of Christian company they are. UPS has no clue what they're doing for worldwide missions. As long as we live, Capital City has one agenda. Oh, to God that one day someone look back at Capital City and say, that little church turn the world upside down.
We certainly hope that you've enjoyed this message today, but more importantly, we hope that the Lord has challenged you in some way to grow in your Christian life. For more information about our church, including directions and times of services, please visit our website at www.capitalcitybaptist.org.